You're listening to a Countout Podcast. And welcome back to another episode of Your Dose of Death podcast. As always, I am Lauren, one of your two hosts. Mike is currently kind of recovering from the craziness that was GCW in Atlantic City. We will have him on soon enough. But for the time being, I kind of want to just take this time to do this news desk episode solo today. It's been a bit since you've heard from me in non-interview form. Because I've been so busy. I had Chris Kohlberg on, I had Nick Harp on, and Mike Gavorgian on. If you guys listen to any of those three episodes, which wanted to apologize, we're trying to make history and put up three episodes within 1 week, but just due to some scheduling and some editing stuff, we just weren't able to do that. But I believe all three episodes turned out really well. Wishing the best of Circle Six on their 2 year anniversary, as well as RPW. Well, I'll talk about my experience from the show. It's already been a few weeks since that show happened, which is kind of crazy. And we'll get into a whole lot here because there is a lot to talk about, surprisingly. So, that being said, I kind of wanted to start though on a serious note. If you haven't been on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, we got some kind of shocking news, to say the least. It is very interesting news from one Danny DeMonto. As you know, Danny was someone who gave us the time and day that I never knew I needed. Danny is someone I have a lot of respect for. And he is someone that I have a great deal of respect for, I should say, in the world of deathmatch wrestling. And I kind of want to dedicate this first little part to him and to Isidore No Holds Barred. As you may have seen yesterday or 2 days ago, by the time this comes out, he put out a tweet, post, whatever you want to call it. It was pretty cryptic, but it was pretty straightforward. It seems kind of there's writing on the wall. And I'll quote the post: "Sometimes, no matter how hard you try, taking the L is the only option. Boston, Mania weekend in New Jersey, Chattanooga twice, and Chicago, five left. Be out here. Let's get it." And I think that Isidore No Holds Barred either is closing shop or is taking a hiatus, a big hiatus. This isn't just like, oh, a month or two. This is a legitimate hiatus. This is a legitimate break or whatever this may be, but I want to kind of pay tribute to the chains. Love or hate it. I know that some people are very divided about it. Some of which are people that have been on this very show in the past, and some of which are just fans. Isidore No Holds Barred brought something different to the table. And they were ones who really, they were a promotion that really connected with the fans. They did things different, and sometimes it may have been controversial, but to them it was the right move. And I mean, listen, we can sit here all day long and say, well, they could have done this right or they could have done that, but they did things their own way. It gave people opportunities like Middens, who literally, many of us know him as one of the biggest deathmatch super fans in the world. And they gave him the opportunity to work as a crew member. Got him to literally pay his dues. The guy's taking fucking bumps that many of us fans envy and have wished for years. He's out there paying his dues weekend in, weekend out. And it's something to see. It's something awesome to see. So giving people like but not just crew members or people that are made in the business. I mean, I know I talked about having Edith on this very show. If you don't know the joke, I'll kind of give the inside joke here that me and Edith wanted to She wanted to give me this proposition at a Chicago show. I had no idea what it was, and apparently she had wanted to be the new co-host because Mike Sorvino wasn't on enough to her liking, and she wanted to just shoot the show with me one time. And Hacking Princess Edith, whatever you want to call her, great person, really great person, and gave her the opportunity to kind of get into a industry that maybe she was not as familiar with. If you know her story, she had nothing to do with wrestling until entering the realm of Icing and Holds Barred and entering the merchandising game with them. And as well, like, the biggest thing that Icing and Holds Barred has done is reinvigorates certain careers, like John Wayne Murdoch. When he had that run in the chains, people were starting to say he was one of the best in the world. And now you see Murdoch almost every weekend with GCW now. Guys, people like Brandon and Casey Kirk, who I'll get to in a bit with the GCW Atlantic City weekend, but Casey Kirk was one of the most captivating acts in all of deathmatch wrestling for a freaking year. There were times where I had heard murmurs and stuff that she was never going to wrestle and all this, but they let her fucking wrestle, and she legitimately stole the show every single time. Her winning the American Deathmatch Championship is one of the best moments of the last 5 years of deathmatch wrestling, because everyone wanted it to happen. Everyone knew it was going to happen eventually. And when it did, it did. And people were, there was not a single negative response to it. But Brandon Kirk, really one of the most underrated deathmatch wrestlers ever. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Brandon Kirk is a workhorse. He is someone who will come into the office, put in his timestamp card, and give you the best shit of your life. I mean, again, we'll get to both the Kirks, but I mean, those three really were iconic. I mean, Reed Bentley as well. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, honestly, without No Holds Barred, and I'm not just saying this because this guy's a friend of mine, but Dr. Redacted would not be on the run he's in right now without Icing and No Holds Barred. Like, yes, he was doing stuff in his previous gimmick with VXS, but Danny really put the investment into Dr. Redacted, and is the guy's one of the hottest acts in deathmatch wrestling right now for an entire solid year. I could name you at least five promotions that man's been in since No Holds Barred, and I mean, I really wish he would have been in the UK, because the reaction to him in the UK would have been incredible. It would have been freaking incredible. He is a world-renowned guy. He's a guy I expect to be in Japan very soon. Akira, another one who really, Danny really gave him the keys to the car as like the young ace in the hole. And I mean, we saw Akira's coming out party with Reed Bentley, a guy who Reed was a guy who kind of brought him in. Murdoch, all those guys brought him in, and Akira really became kind of someone on his own. That isn't possible without being looked at by Danny DeMatteo and ICW No Holds Barred. Like, there's a lot of guys that work with ICW No Holds Barred. If you go back to like show one, show two, show three, like all the beginning shows, there's so many names that you'd be so surprised. You're like, holy crap, these guys are making their marks everywhere they go. And yes, the roster has fluctuated, and that you can say whatever you want about that. I'm not gonna speak on that because it's not my place to speak on it. But people come and go, and there are certain constants that have been. I mean, Tommy Vendetta, MM3, the Pillars, who literally have put Detroit deathmatch wrestling on the frickin' map, to Hoodfoot Mo Atlas, a guy who literally came into the chains, kind of was another name, but has really turned out to be a hot commodity. Mo is captivating. He's a guy that there's no way in hell you could boo him. Like, if you boo Maurice Atlas or Mo or whatever you want to call him, you're just a heel. You the fan are a heel. But it's so much of the roster, but so much of the stuff that's happened to No Holds Barred. It's iconic. Like again, there are guys that have been in the chains that, yeah, you've seen them in other places, and now you're seeing them in other places as well. But the chains, it gave us a breath of fresh air in deathmatch wrestling. And whatever the future holds for Danny and for everyone else, a part of it, I mean, I wish them nothing but the best. And I'm so honored to be a part of this ride. I know I don't talk about much of my socials, and I'm going to start promoting it more, but I am going to be filming ringside for WrestleMania weekend and for Berwyn. And Berwyn Eagles, I'm just going to tell you now, if that is really the last No Holds Barred show, you want to get on those fucking tickets. Get on those fucking tickets. Trust me, trust me, trust me. They're going to go out with a bang. It's sad, though. I mean, when Danny put out that tweet, the post, there was a lot of things. Wanted to talk about another set of people that really kind of became their own in No Holds Barred, and really Danny put his investment into them. Was the Bocce Boys. The Bocce Boys, Hammer, Andy, Jason Kelly, Jimmy C, a lot of those guys, the Bocces. I don't think many of us really would have known the Bocces if it wasn't for Dane DeMatteo and Icy No Holds Barred. I've been meaning to talk to Hammer about having doing a collaborative episode. We'll work on it. I have so much on the list to do this year, guys. It's just a lot, but no, I want to really dedicate part of this to Icy No Holds Barred because it's sad. It's really sad to see them go if it really is the end, or if they're taking a long break, which it sucks, but sometimes it's just what is necessary. I kind of want to read some of the quote tweets. And another guy, oh my God, there's so many people I want to thank from No Holds Barred. I mean, Jack Somm is a great commentator. Ron Neamey, a guy who kind of has such a interesting career, and his time in No Holds Barred, I'll never forget. But another guy, one big guy who I always, always, always have to dedicate is Struggles, or for those of you that know him as Ryan. It's crazy to me. I never thought I'd have someone as good of a mentor as him. He has such an incredible mind for professional wrestling. ETU, as you've heard from Bobby Banks and stuff, there's some amazing stuff in ETU, but his love for deathmatch wrestling is unparalleled. And it's one of those things where, like, his commentary, yes, there are some people that would just rag on it, but it's different. It had this rigor to it. It had this real growl to it. It was like the mic check, 1, 2, yes, sir. My best Struggles impersonation right there. But he was really a huge part. There's a reason I call him Sensei Struggs. Was one of the best people to have in your corner when I first filmed for Danny and ICW back in October of last year. He was like, damn, look at you getting like the hustle, Mike, and he appreciated it. He sees the value in wrestling as a whole, and sees the value in content creation. I mean, a man who's had a legendary podcast as well. Struggles, I cannot thank you enough. I know he's been taking a break and just keeping things to ETU, but iconic commentator, iconic, and he really brought his best every single time. He again, people like him got opportunities from Danny. Bobby Banks, as you a former guest of this show, a very recent former guest. Thank you guys for listening to that episode as well. It's been a really, really well received episode, and I cannot thank you guys enough for that. Bobby, I mean, they've had several ring announcers, Larry to Rich Paladino to Righteous Jesse. I know Jesse's kind of done with wrestling, which makes me sad because that is a dude I adore. I've adored him since 2020. It's been 4 years since of me knowing that man since his Southern Underground Pro days at the Indianapolis Coliseum during the Collective, and seeing him ring announce in Chicago just made my heart. It made me, it made me smile, I should say. God damn. But now Bobby Banks, a guy who is phenomenal, literally. There was murmurs. Those of you on the Facebook group who were calling for Bobby Banks to ring announce a show, you got your damn wish. You made this happen. The fans, that's the big thing with Danny, is he listened to the fans. And I mean, promote wrestling, indie wrestling promoters should be listening to their fans and seeing what they like and what they don't like. And not everything will be heard, but Danny made sure it was very well heard. I'll say this from my point of view. I really, at first, when I first saw them at first glance, I kind of was like, I don't know. But really getting to know the guys and gals who worked in that locker room, I've been in that locker room. It's been a pleasure seeing everyone that's worked there grow. I mean, the Chattanooga people, the Blair sisters, Jaden. Tank, Sean Campbell, Heater, they're all sensational people. I got the absolute pleasure of meeting a bunch of them over the years. To the Jersey people, you know, I mean, the Tremonts of the world, Bradley and Ross, to everyone who's worked with them, they made an impact. And I can't say enough about, yes, Danny has had his shortcomings. Who hasn't? No one is perfect in this world. There's some that have had more shortcomings than others, and I completely understand that. But Danny D'Amato, me and him, we didn't see eye to eye at first. We did not. I was like, this is ridiculous. I was one of the biggest critics at first because I was listening to other people. And because I listen to other people, it definitely blinded my views on certain things. And I'm not trying to say that I was always right or wrong, but I was someone who, yeah, like things change over time. And what I originally called kind of like my disdain for the chains turned into a pure love because I saw their value. I took my own opinions. I buried the hatchets with a lot of people. I really became open-minded because I want to give you, the listeners, you, the fans of this very show, the best quality input and opinion out there. And because of that, I mean, no holds barred, I saw their value. I saw the chains have a great fan base. There's a lot of diehard fans. And when this does come to an end, it's going to be a sad day for a lot of people because they really cared. They bought the merch. They paid for stuff in the live sales. They then going around the world. I mean, there are not many deathmatch promotions that can say within their 4 or 5 year span that they've been to Australia and the UK not just once, twice in a span of 4 years. That is some insane growth. And ICW, they have left their mark. They have left their mark. Whatever the future holds, I don't know what it holds. The people will be listening, people will be following. Whether that's Danny at the helm cell, great. If not, if he gives the mic over to someone else, so be it. But thank you, Danny DeMonzo. Thank you to Iceland and No Holds Bar. Thank you to everyone that has ever worked there, that has ever been a part of it, to the fans, to everyone, you all, everyone that has been a part of their process deserves a thank you. I'm going to miss it. I enjoyed watching the chains when I could. I really did. And I apologize. I had this conversation now. I'll kind of peel back the curtain just a little. In Boston, I had apologized to Danny for our past indifferences. And he looked me straight in the face and said, "We are all good." And it takes a lot to be that way, because I sometimes was stubborn. I will admit, I sometimes was stubborn. I sometimes thought better. And I realize it's not the case. I mean, I'll share another one of my personal stories since we're kind of doing a little story time here. But I got the absolute pleasure of working with Abdullah Kobayashi, the June shows in Chicago last June. And that was one of the most incredible moments of my life. And I mean, listen, like, I literally, it all worked out so perfectly. I had gotten off work. I work right by O'Hare Airport. And I got to, or I had worked by O'Hare. And I texted Kobayashi, told him where I'm going to be, and picked him up and took him to Giordano's Pizza and took him to this hotel. And I cannot tell you how surreal of a, like, that's a legend. That's a guy. That's one of the last, that's the last living trainee of Abdullah the Butcher. I believe he's one of the last trainees ever, and it took the Abdullah name for himself. And someone, I mean, that guy, Abdullah, bringing him over to Chicago is unheard of. I'm not saying this as a dig or anything like that, but we in Chicago have missed out on some Japanese deathmatch legends, like the Kasais and the Itos of the world. But we've got our Takedas. But we got Abdullah Kobayashi to come to Chicago. Danny DeMonzo made that happen. And it was big. It was big. And it's just there's a lot of good memories. And I know I'm not the only one that has probably great memories of ICW No Holds Barred. But all in all, thank you, Danny. Thank you to everyone who has worked, everyone that I've ever befriended. I wouldn't have met a good amount of people. I mean, yeah, I've met people in Atlantic City through GCW. Yes, I've met people through RPW. Yes, I've met people through multiple different deathmatch shows. But ICW No Holds Barred was such a huge influence in the world of deathmatch wrestling. So whatever happens, it happens. Don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened. So that's really kind of one of the big things I want to take away. I know that was a good 20-30 minutes. If you made it this far, thank you. I wanted to really get off that all off my chest, because ICW meant a lot to a lot of people. It meant a lot. But it's not the only deathmatch promotion. We have a lot to talk about, baby. I want to get into the GCW Atlantic City weekend. I just kind of want to talk about the deathmatch stuff that happened. Pretty freaking cool that Mikroman used a pane of glass in a match. That was freaking ridiculous. Brandon Kirk showed his might as one of the most underrated deathmatch wrestlers of all time, man. A guy who just comes in to work, works his ass off, and people like myself notice. Him and Murdoch was great. Murdoch, again, one of the best in the world, continues to impress us. Excuse me while I take a little sip of water. And Murdoch and Kurt Brandon really did a great job. But also, Ryuji Ito, Nick Gage was great. Ryuji Ito, man, is... So I wanted to kind of put this out there because I kind of like continuity in deathmatch wrestling. I think it should be noted. But there's only been two people within the last year that have defeated Ryuji Ito in a ring. Nick Gage is one of them. And Akira is the other. Ryuji Ito is one of the aces of Japanese deathmatch wrestling. A guy, like, there is your Junko Sais. There's your Masashi Takedas. And then there's your Ryuji Itos. They are all at the same echelon of acehood. They're all aces. Ito is a guy who, if you beat him, there better be a damn good reason for it. And those two have done it. I mean, Nick Gage, I love the whole idea. I kind of wish they did Nick Gage Kobayashi. I understand why they didn't. But I kind of wish they did just because I want to see it. It was really cool, though, to see Ito and Gage in a ring. I think it was the first time they had faced since a tag match in BJW in, like, the early 2000s. It was crazy. And Ito, that frog splash is gorgeous. I hope a lot of fans appreciate that frog splash. Like, yeah, RVD is one of the best. But Ito, there's something special about frog splashes on the light tubes. Yeah, though. Dream on Kobayashi was good stuff. I will say, I understand why a certain gimmick was not used, because certain people aren't in GCW. But it was a little odd to see Tremont not in a certain gimmick. But continuity aside, Tremont's Tremont. It was really cool to see him. It was his birthday as well. Happy belated birthday to Matt Tremont, a former guest on the show. You can go back all the way to, like, I'm losing count of episode numbers, guys, but I did have an episode of Matt Tremont. He was not on the video, unfortunately. I'm definitely going to try to have him back on and be like, yo, get your webcam on, brother. But Matt Tremont, friend of the show, great guy. Happy belated. A man who I cannot thank enough for letting me stay in his wonderful abode last March. But anyways, Tremont, him and Kobayashi was real good fun. Both those guys are true professionals to the end. Kobayashi with a Wawa bag is precious, though. But it's Kobayashi, man. What else is new? Then, Sunday. And Micro Man Brandon Kirk was good old fun. I can't believe there was a pane of glass being used. But Brandon Kirk, worker's worker. What else can I say about him? But the big news before I get into Mestizos and Kobayashi and Ito, Casey fucking Kirk. If there was a single match announcement that had the entire deathmatch world on its tippy toes, it was Casey Kirk's return to wrestling and her return to GCW against John Wayne Murdoch. She had surgery. She took a long break where she did nothing for months. A lot of people hinted that it was pregnancy, this and that, yada, yada. I don't want to talk about. But if there was someone whose star shined brighter than anybody else's in the fucking constellation, it was Casey Kirk. As I said before in the ICW tribute, you want to find someone who is so damn captivating. You get good feelings from her with Casey Kirk. And when she was up on that scissor lift, about to do the 187 onto the flaming door with a pain, like all this stuff, I was just sitting there, I'm like, you just made a star. This is iconic. I mean, the match itself, John Wayne Murdoch, again, world-class wrestler, For some reason, Murdoch just has magic with intergender wrestling. I mean, mind you, there have been times where he's been a proponent of it, where he's made promos about it. So Murdoch knows what's up, but he made Casey Kirk look like $2 million. Not one, $2 million. And Casey Kirk's back. She is back. I don't know what her future holds. I'm not going to speak on things that are out of my control, or I'm not trying to put out any journalistic lies or anything like that, but let's just see what's in store for Casey Kirk. I can see a TOS run again for her. I can see her vying for that ultraviolet belt. I can see her doing a lot of things. Her and Masha would be really fun. There's a lot of angles we could go with Casey Kirk, and I could spend almost a decade on them, or just at least not a decade, but an hour. And I'm not going to do that because y'all have days, lives to get to, and I want to make sure that this gets into your ears with the most content possible. But Casey Kirk, wow. If you talk about a return match, that is a damn fine return match. But at the same time as well, we have to talk about the main event tag match. I want to kind of say something beforehand because Los Mestizos, man, if there's two guys that really have represented GCW as a tag team, as a duo or whatever, Los Mestizos are those guys. It was such a bummer when during COVID they couldn't stay here in the States and everything was kind of all went out. But then 2021 came, they were finally able to come back to the States, and they've been on a rocket ship from freaking Earth. They're up in the sky every single time. Miedo winning NGI last year cemented him and Ciclope as probably one of the greatest deathmatch tag teams ever. They can do everything, man. I've seen them do hardcore matches with the War Dogs, New Japan Pro Wrestling. I have seen them do lucha scrambles. I have seen them do everything and anything in between, and they're pure just luchadors. Or lucha extrema specialists. And they went in there with Ido and Kobayashi. Mind you, a day after Miedo's bag got stolen, which I want to talk about. Stop stealing wrestlers' stuff, please. I'm begging you. You're not going to get value out of it. There's no value. There's nothing worth it about it. I'm not saying I would do it. I would never. I don't touch that stuff. But goddamn, like it shouldn't be a thing to like steal people's stuff. It's happened way too often. It's really annoying that's happened. But anyways, it was a hell of a match. I mean, this Light Tube Lunacy, Kobayashi, man. Kobayashi's so much fun. Really was just a great match. All-around action. Really, really awesome stuff from all four of them. So, really great stuff from Atlantic City. Deathmatch Wrestling. I will say, I know people complain that they don't do enough death matches. Again, it's market to market, it's venue to venue. They don't want to lose their venues. I don't blame Brett Lauderdale for it. I don't envy Brett Lauderdale either. He has one of the toughest jobs in the world. All these promoters do. So, to get mad, like, buy a plane ticket. Go out to Atlantic City. Nothing is stopping you except yourself. And there will be death matches in other, like Texas has seen some, St. Louis. Like, yeah, it's happening in certain places. It's just, there's limitations to this. So again, I hear the complaints. I see them. A lot of them are valid. Don't get me wrong. But you have to fit in Brett Lauderdale's shoes. I don't envy him in the slightest. So I want to get into also the other kind of big thing, RPW. So Animosity happened back March 2nd. You saw me kind of working ringside film. So the thing with RPW is it was a little stressful. I will not lie. So for I want to give you guys kind of my schedule, what happened, because I was near dehydrated by the end of the show. I didn't have enough water, and my knees were killing me. My legs were killing me, but that's the life of a filmographer like myself. So Friday night I actually was at a wrestling show in the city, and I had already confirmed that I was going to pick up Judge Joe Dredd and Stephen Drury at Midway. So I had to literally right as the show that I was at in the city ended, boom, I'm literally out the door. I'm lucky I got there when I did. Zoomed to Midway Airport. Ended up actually going to Portillo's near Oak Brook, the Oak Brook area, if you're familiar, at like midnight. Because we had to make sure Drury and Joe got checked in, all that great stuff. Then the next day I tried to get as much sleep as possible, and then I had to literally drive to Joliet, Illinois to pick up Dr. Redacted and his wonderful fiance, Kenzie. I had to drive from Joliet to Berwyn. Had to be there by 3. So I was in the venue since 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I didn't leave the venue till after the show, till about midnight. So a good 9 hours in Berwyn, Illinois. Show was good. Show was really freaking good. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch it on IMDb. If you haven't seen my clips, go to L. Arberg Studios on Instagram. That is where I posted all my clips. I had to be a bit more selective this time. Just kind of, there was a lot of people ringside. We all trying to get our piece of the cake. We did a good job. And it was tough. Fans were a little raucous. A lot of ringside action. But I kind of wanted to give a few little spark notes, because I want you guys to go watch the show on IWTV. I'll say this, Eric Dillinger, literally, that was his first weekend back in wrestling a week after his wife gave birth to a new baby boy. Eric Dillinger busts his ass for this business. That I kind of made a joke. I'm like, if there's a guy I'd introduce my mom to in the world of professional wrestling, that's the dude. He's just a sweet dude. Busts his ass for this. Literally fought Remington Rohr tooth and nail, light tube with light tube, slam after slam. Came up short, but Dillinger is a boss. Dr. Redacted Akira was probably the hottest match of the night. Crowd was white hot for it. Akira, man, he's improved a lot. The Japan stints are huge. Beating Ryuji Ito is huge. And he's just a damn fine wrestler now. MLW, he is everywhere, dude. What else? So, Bruisers, I said to Chris on this very show, I love them. I think they deserve so much more opportunities. Saturday, March 2nd, proved that. They went tooth and nail with Randy West and Schwartzy, who are a great tag team. I mean, it was just good tag team deathmatch wrestling. I mean, was really crazy to see how well that match went. Just real show stealer material. If you guys saw my clip of Randy and I think it was Robert, or no, I for which Bruiser it was, or Mitch, I think it was Mitch, where they were using the bats, and the one bat had gussets, and the gusset went flying to the wall near the entrance way. I don't think I've ever been more terrified in my life of a flying object, like a gusset plate. I am glad there was no one there, or no one got hurt, because, oh Lord, that was dangerous. What else? Oh, Judge Joe Dredd Satsujin. That was a hoss fight. And if there is someone who was as ecstatic about him finally getting the Matt Tremont match, it's this guy. I remember when Judge Joe Dredd was putting out those promos calling out Tremont for XPW when the or just in general. Wow, it's been that long. And he honestly, of all the calling out Tremont stuff, his was the best stuff. His was the stuff that was floating around. You're just like, yeah, like, what's up? Who's this Judge Joe Dredd dude? Who's this big boy? And I've seen him grow into a really, I'm going to say this, Judge Joe Dredd is in for a big 2024. I know I don't watch XPW as much as other stuff, but when I got to support my dudes, I got to support my dudes. Judge Joe Dredd went 72 fucking minutes in a ring at XPW. When he came into my car, he was still sore from that match the weekend after. Judge Joe Dredd is a breakout star in the making. And that is a guy who just keep your eyes peeled. He's getting freaking Matt Tremont in RPW in Mania Weekend, which, by the way, that Mania Weekend card, Miasma. I'll have Chris on this very show to talk about it. That is a hell of a show. That is a hell of a way to end WrestleMania Weekend. Excuse me. But Dredd calling out Tremont, that promo was great. Just wait for the next promos with him. I'm not gonna break the fourth wall or anything with the good judge and as I say right now, being paid by the minute slash hour by good old Steven Jury. Just keep an eye on those two. Just keep an eye on those two. The main event, Atticus Coker, your new RPW world champion. I don't know what Atticus has in store for that belt. He might make that a regular wrestling belt. Yawn. But I'm just kidding. Atticus as the RPW world champion, I did not expect it. Mo did a great deal with RPW and has done a great deal with RPW. But Atticus Coker, he lied, he cheated, he stole that RPW championship. And whatever the future has in store for him, boy howdy, we're in for a ride. Remington Roar still your RPW Kamikaze champion. And also, I mean, the RPW tag team, Napier and Zach Thomas was a real underrated match. Christian Napier has a lot of potential. I know I'm talking about a regular match. That's a Deathmatch podcast. Apologies. But it's really cool to see him develop, and it's cool that that potentially RSP and Rich and Vincent Nothing are gonna fight for the RPW tag belts. Excuse me. Oh no, I got the hiccups. So get ready for that at Miasma, but overall show was fantastic. Really top to bottom. I was stressed out of my mind, just making sure I did everything right in my power to make sure that it all went well. I think I did. When I'm in, I will say this: if you saw me during the show and said hi, or if, whatever, I appreciate it. I just was so damn busy and half dehydrated out my ass the entire night. So definitely gonna work on some more hydration in the future. Oh, I want to also say Germ T. Ripper, love Germ, literally. If you ever come to a Chicago wrestling show and you don't see Germ T. Ripper, that show is not worth going to. I mean, give or take his schedule and how elusive that man is. He's a ring announcer. He's a Renaissance man, as I like to call him. But Germ getting the crowd into it before the show was great. He's a great positive bull energy. One of my favorite people in the world. And the other people I want to shout out to Jake and Cassie, the officially now the Martins. They just got married. The last part of their wedding trip was actually at RPW. So the newlyweds, love them to pieces. Jake has been a long time listener of this show. I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. When Jake introduced himself to me at Insane Eight, it was my first Insane Eight, which was wild. And he's like, "Yeah, are you Your Dose of Death?" And I wore a shirt, and I'm like, "Yeah." And I was like getting ready for some like, but no, it was Jake's the sweetest, and I'm so happy for him. Cassie's wonderful as well. So nothing but love to the both of them as newlyweds. I love they actually got like the Elvis ceremony. It was so adorable. I'm really happy for them, but congrats to them. And yeah, congrats everyone at RPW. We did it. We're gonna do it again in April. I cannot freaking wait. I cannot wait to be tired, exhausted, dehydrated all over again in the H2O Center. But yeah, so we want to keep on all things with RPW as well. Oh, if you didn't see the announcement, King of the Kill is back August 24th. Make sure you get your tickets. I will be there filming ringside. I already have my calendar marked off for RPW for King of the Kill. So excited to be at that tournament. So excited to be visiting the cornfields of maybe Michigan. So really am excited to just get out there, see the Michigan faithful. You guys treated me so well at Whiteout. Can't wait for the same hospitality as well. So that is, I think, all that I have for the show. And this is one of the longer episodes we've done in a while. Apologies, but I had to get that ICW tribute out of the way. But also give you the good news. The good news. Mike, Serena will be back. We're working on it. We're working on some more interviews. I just got I need like a secretary. I'm joking. This is all, as you guys know, me and Mike, we schedule everything. We make sure everything's on point. But as well, shout out to the Count Out Network of Wrestling Podcasts, Ryan Knightsey, Mikey Manfredi, everyone does their stuff. Scott Edwards as well. We're a tight-knit group. Make sure you go sign up for the Patreon. Best $5 you will spend in wrestling podcasts. Make sure you have the Patreon. I think me and Mike are gonna try to do some Patreon content. We're gonna try. I have some ideas in the chamber, but I love putting it out for you guys. I want everyone to listen to this. What else? Buy the merch, Deathmatch Worldwide or countout.com. You can buy it there. Chris Jewett is the only person to have a Your Dose of Death podcast hoodie. I had to show Chris Kullenberg it, and he was like, "Wait, really?" Like, and I almost made the joke that Chris Jewett should put it in a museum one day. I did not. So if Jewett hears this, just know should put that in a museum as one of one, the one in the world that was made. But anyways, hope you get the same merch that he does. Get the same merch on Deathmatch Worldwide. Buy the merch, support us. We love the support. If you see it at shows, say hi, take the pic. Support L. Arbor Studios, support Kings Road Wrestling. I can go on and on, but I think that is going to do it for this episode of Your Dose of Death podcast from myself, Lauren. Yeah, so thank you everyone for listening to this and and I will see y'all on the flip side.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.